thank you, everyone, for being here this morning, two mornings in a row. This is the Buildings and Grounds.
She just joined us back.
Welcome, welcome, Mary. This is July 16th at 8 a.m. This is the Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting discussing the potential expansion of DORA. In attendance, there's myself, Lindsay Stow, Chair of the Committee, Katie Capellini, Patrick Richardson, Mark Fry. Also present is Mayor Stow, Mary Westfall, Chief, the Chief's not here, but Leslie Brining, Bill Sanford, Kevin Aller, Doug Hanum, Brian McCann, Andy Erskorn, and Chuck Solano. Once again, thank you for being here. Since we last met on June 8th, just a few quick updates that are relevant to our discussion. West Maplewood was reopened to traffic after being a pedestrian zone from mid-May to mid-June to provide additional space for safe distancing outdoors while supporting our downtown businesses. The parklets were installed along Main Street, creating additional outdoor space for pedestrians. Maplewood Park was determined to be eligible for DORA, and council has approved the initial step to start the process of adding Maplewood Park with a public hearing scheduled for July 20th. And Toledo has maintained regular scheduled street closures for pedestrian use as well. Just as a nice reminder of the goal of what these discussions are reaching us towards, it's to incorporate the new state rules and exciting city development into the long-term vision of DORA in downtown Sylvania and determine if and how extending DORA would be beneficial and feasible. Some of these, the new state rules is that city-owned parks are now permitted in addition to previously allowed right-of-ways. And some of the exciting new city developments include our market study for downtown, where we have task one and two complete and task three underway. The parklets, there's a Maplewood engineering project upcoming, there is increased demand for outdoor space, and SOMO is beginning to pre-lease their apartments with the intent of people moving in October. At the last meeting, we were able to figure out some of the main decision factors that will need to go into whether or not DORA is extended. One of them is safety and security, which can include visibility, nearby traffic, and if there's a use conflict. The responsibility of cost and maintenance, which that can include trash, cleaning restrooms, cleaning the furniture, and if there's any damage liability, who that would fall on. The location, whether or not it's a space that's already in demand, already being used, similar to the Maplewood Park, or if there's infill opportunities, if there's underserved businesses in the downtown that we might want to try to highlight. And then also the clarity of the rules, making sure that there's clear hours and clear boundaries. So those are all some of the main factors that we determined at the last meeting that will help influence where we, or if we extend. And then the properties under consideration include the historical village, so thank you again for being here, in case if we have any questions. The sister city park and perhaps the adjacent parking, which is behind the museum. Maplewood Square Park, which is at Main and Maplewood, which that one's already in process. River Center Park, which is the one at Main and Monroe on the southeast corner. The police parking lot, and then since our last meeting, also considering temporary scheduled street closures. Whether that would be east or west of Maplewood or north of south on Main of from Maplewood. So for today's meeting, I have a couple goals that I have in mind, and then I have one that we could determine if we want to discuss. So the first goal I have for today is to discuss the observations and responses to DORA use over the past month. One of the reasons why it's been a month since we last met was so that we could see how the pandemic developed, but also to see how DORA is used, especially considering the parklets and the additional closed streets in Toledo. The second thing I'd like to discuss is determining a strategy and a timeline for how this process will unfold. And then I'm going to leave this up to you guys to decide if you want to discuss that today, whether or not we'd like to discuss near-term scheduled street closure options in response to the governor's county-based safety plan, and if we want to have some sort of response ready in case if we turn into a red county or something like that. I don't know, would you guys like that to be a part of today's discussion, or we can wait and see how much time the other things take? I'll leave that to the committee to... I feel like let's just start at the beginning. Does anyone have a hard finish? I mean, I feel like we should take a call. So my goal is to end at 9. I tend to try to keep things an hour if we can, but...
She worked there.
All right, so no hard no's to talking about it. All right. So the first thing... Oh, are there any other items that anyone would like to add to that? Any other things? Okay. All right, so the first thing was to discuss observations and responses to DORA use over the past month. Why don't we start with the Maplewood closure? I can already add that during that month, it seemed like it was regularly popular during the weekend, but fairly empty during the weekdays. That it received a lot of compliments, but there were also some complaints about inconvenience and misbehavior. And that trash overflow is an issue. Are there any other observations or thoughts and things you guys would like to add to that? So, I feel like people are hugely popular. And I thought it was popular during the week too. I mean, not as popular as the weekend. And maybe just when people figured out what it was, then we were closing it. I mean, it took a while for people to figure out what was actually going on there. So, it could have been executed better, probably, if it was what it was.
Yeah, because it was going up kind of last minute, I think you did a great job, you know, I think you made the decision to do it, and by the end of the week, it was, you know, it was there, it was awesome, but it was temporary. And, you know, I agree, people like that. I thought people enjoyed it 7 days a week, you know, depending on weather, a little more. I know you do too, Katie, but I live around the corner, so I was there quite a bit. And yeah, I saw people there any day. Just like you'd see people at the, the inside the five patios full last night. So it's element. So people want to be outside.
Yeah, I don't live quite as close as you guys. You probably saw it a little more frequently during the week.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any additional comments they'd like to add regarding the Maplewood closure and its use?
Well, this is Doug. I'll just say that I got a lot of positive feedback about it. I didn't use it much. I think everyone was good with it. But from the complaints that we got, it seemed like if we were to consider that sort of thing again, I think we need to consider some sort of enhanced oversight. And I don't know if that comes in the form of a greater security presence, or some other sort of oversight. The complaints that I heard were disturbing. I really wonder how extensive they were, but they were obviously significant enough to motivate the folks who live right there to raise a complaint with us. And I don't usually think of our community as an overly complaining community. I mean, people are too tolerant. So for there to So I suspect there's substance behind those complaints. So, you know, if we go forward, if we choose to go forward with something like that again, I think we need to add to the list an appropriate, and I hesitate to use the word policing. I don't think we have the police capability to police something like that. But I think we would have to talk about some sort of enhanced security and maybe talk about the businesses in the area, talk to the businesses that would directly benefit from the increased presence in our downtown and maybe share the cost of that. You know, or as an alternative, have the security retained by the Downtown Business Association. Now, I think in the downtown development plan, there's a suggestion about forming a formal downtown group, kind of like what we had in the late 90s and early 2000s, that would be separately funded.
A SID, right? Special Investment District, is that right?
Special Improvement District.
Improvement District.
Right.
That is what is employed by the city of Toledo in their areas for their warehouse district at least.
Okay.
And that could be a source of funding for enhanced security. But there's no doubt that folks in the community enjoyed it and took advantage of it. And you know, it's always a small minority that abuse it and ruin it for everybody. And that's what we, I think, experienced earlier this summer.
Thank you. If there aren't any more thoughts regarding the Maplewood closure tomorrow, maybe we could also talk about the parklets or Redbird, or in general, if there's any other DORA-related observations you guys have had over the last month that you'd like to share with the group.
I think the parklets have been a huge success. I've gotten countless positive feedback, both in writing and you know, just verbal, writing into people, how cool they are. And I haven't heard anything negative about those. And I think, you know, I've seen them, and I've enjoyed them, and I've seen other people enjoying them, and I think that that's a good indication that, you know, more DORA space and more, especially places to, like, sit and congregate, is something we should be talking about, so I think it's needed.
So I
want to
get jump ahead, but I was thinking about the way we're going to use the Maplewood repainting. I wonder if we take out those two, the parking spaces that are on the Fiddlefish side, shift the road over and put a wider sidewalk on the inside of the side, and that would make more space, like sidewalk space, for people to congregate. It's also not right under the windows of the Fiddlefish people, so you get a bigger space over on the other side. You don't close the street, you still have traffic going back and forth. You have people congregating on the inside, the five side. The only thing you lose is those three parking spaces on the Fiddlefish side. I don't know how the plan is progressing with Kevin, but just a thought.
Yeah, Kevin, do you know when, or what the anticipated schedule for that is? When the engineering may happen?
Yeah, that project schedule actually is in design right now. We've had a meeting with some of the downtown business owners and building owners. The construction would be in 22 and 23. We did look at that, Ms. Capellini, but unfortunately what that does is that offsets the lane alignments, and so all of the signalization would have to be completely redone in there. Because now you don't have, now you've got offset lanes and you're not able to, you know, east, west, green, north, north, south, green. That doesn't work when you've got offset lanes. So we did look at that. Doesn't look like it's going to be possible. But we are taking a look. Part of what we, the meeting included was, taking away, you know, extending that sidewalk and, I'll call it Kathy seating area, extending that Kathy seating area into those parking spaces, either all of them or some of them or something like that. So we are looking at that, but we thought the same thing. It would be better if we could just get that over to the other side, but it, it causes traffic problems, unfortunately.
Well, we feel, I don't know when the design plans will be ready to look at, but I feel like that's a big part of what we're talking about here.
It would be, and it, really the decision would be, do you decide to extend it, you know, on Maplewood? You know, the Kathy seating obviously would be included, it's already in the door. So then it would just be coming down to how you want to handle the street closure, whether it be temporary or whatever.
Is it aligned?
We can make concepts.
The last street closure one.
Yeah, yeah, we'd be able to give you concept. And actually, we can send you those, same concepts that we provided to the, business owners, just to let you know before looking at.
I think it'd be nice to see the schematic designs, just so we have an idea of the direction it's going, and it could, through these discussions, we might have a low change idea that might have a lot of benefit or something.
Sure, yeah.
Actually, an idea that I have that probably isn't within the scope of the project, and feel free to just say so, but I know a big discussion during the Maplewood closure, or any time the streets are closed, is putting up barriers. And I know that in downtown Toledo, they have those bollards that come up. That's probably really expensive. It's probably outside the scope, but has anything like that been considered?
It was considered. If it's something that you know, City Council intends to make more of a permanent thing where we're going to do this, you know, I just don't think that one week a month or, you know, for 2 months straight or something like that. Then we could take a, you know, take a look from an expense side. It's not a great expense, so it can be done. It's just you know, for what we were doing, being temporary, we just got it blocked off and got it done. But that's something that we could look at. It's something that's going to be an ongoing.
But you would think that that would be its own separate project. It's not something that should be tried to be incorporated on Maplewood.
I think we could incorporate it. It wouldn't be what we'd call project eligible expense. So like the OPWC funding that we have in it, it wouldn't be eligible for that funding. But we could do it as part of the project. It wouldn't be large, a large expense.
Okay. Any other questions for Kevin while he's up there? Thank you. Any other observations about the parklets or Redbird in general? We just had our first in-person Redbird since lockdown, and I know I stopped by, and it seems like there were people who were in attendance, but it wasn't crowded, and everyone was keeping safe distances, but there were definitely people enjoying Dora. On the streets going between some of the businesses. So I thought that was another good indicator of an interest in this.
Ms. Stahl, I would agree. I think there is, clearly. And I think the recent First Friday was indicative of that. I think that will be ongoing. What we need to, what we're relying on is people's discretion and reasonable accommodation of others. And anecdotally, what I've generally seen is an effort to try to do that, for the most part. Not in total, but for the most part, thus far. I've been in other places, not so much. But in that regard, I think that it allows, based on the number of people there, and the amount of space available, it allowed for that, and I think people utilize that space as appropriate, at least anecdotally.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. Lots of great observations. I think it's From what I'm hearing and from what I saw, it sounds like there is definitely a strong interest to keep moving forward, and whether or not we're in a pandemic when we come out of this, there'll still be more interest, because you think for a long time people would be wanting to spend a little more time outside by default, just to be a little bit maybe easier of mind. So the next thing I was hoping we could discuss is sort of a strategy, a timeline and a strategy for updating this long-term vision for DORA. Last night I did send out an email to you all so that you'd have this handy and I wouldn't have to physically hand you anything. And it's a launching point for this discussion. None of this was set in stone, but it was taking some of the milestones that we already know and anticipate over the next few months, and just starting to try to put it down in order. And so I'll just do a quick overview of that, and then feel free to jump in with your thoughts or other things that I might have missed with it. For this month, or for over the next month, I think it'll be vital to have the input of the downtown businesses and residents, along with some key community organizations like Heritage Sylvania, or the Chamber, or Sylvania Arts, or DSA, to be able to maybe have a little bit longer to reflect and give their information. I know we already had a really great quick response survey from them when we did the Maplewood closure, but as I recall, I think that was mostly based on DSA members, and this would give a chance for everyone, including the people in the apartments above, to have their say and help shape the conversation moving forward. So I thought it would be great to spend the next month putting together that survey, which of course I can put together a draft version of it for review before we send it out. It could be a Google form. It's free, it's accessible, and it does great results on it, or it processes the information well. And then in August, we take the results from that, and we can determine whether or not we really need to meet to do them, but we can get those results and start to think about them and look over them. But In this survey, I thought it would be helpful to ask them about their experience with DORA to date, what they liked and what they've not liked about it. Kind of go through each one of the locations that are under consideration. And I'm picturing making sort of a matrix that shows the locations and shows all of those determining factors. We talked about safety and location and all that, and kind of making a little matrix showing like which ones clip off on which things in a good way or a bad way, to kind of have a quick visual way of seeing where things might fall. But asking them what their interest or support would be on the different locations, and that would be a good way to understand J&G's doesn't want East Maplewood closed because that'll affect their business, or this resident doesn't want this one because of the difference. So it helps bring a lot of perspectives into the conversation. And then also a question about street closures. If we were to have something, which spots they would probably like, or which spots they like or don't like, what times might work and when the frequency of that might be. And then this might just be a bonus throw-in question, but what are their hopes for the future of downtown? And that might spur a big picture thing that could help shape the discussion. Do you guys agree that those would be good items? Do you have thoughts on changing, tweaking those items, or anything more that you would like me to incorporate or put together in this survey?
I think it's good. I think that, I wanted to have a sort of a year review of war anyway. And I think, that kind of, put in the background of the COVID and that stuff. So I think it would be good to, DORA's been running, it opened May of last year, so over a year. And I think it would be good to see, let's see how we're doing. If we're going to talk about expanding it, I think that would be very helpful.
I think it's a good idea to always seek community input. The only thing I would suggest is sending the survey out on Google. How would we know where to send it to the other stakeholders that wouldn't necessarily be DSA members or people off the top of your head? I mean,
you can give them the link on like a physical paper and hand it to them, and then they can just go on.
So you would have something to them anyways? I mean, if they're a resident, we're going to mail something to them anyway. Why don't we just mail them a survey?
We could do that too. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure that everybody. I don't want to necessarily assume that everybody has access to the technology to do this. I think it's natural that they probably do, but I don't know that they do. So I don't want to make that supposition. High degree of probability, but not certainty. And I want to make sure that we get their input as well, if they have.
That's a great insight, Mark. Yeah, we want to make sure that everyone has the ability to fill it out.
And they can't go to the library and do it right now. So
right. Yeah.
That would be the next backup. So.
Lindsay, could I just add, I think we've done for similar things that, because we did hear from a lot of residents that live nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do lit drops, or we get addresses for public meetings and different things. And I think sending something to the different, we can identify the streets, and because I'm really from a lot of those kind of people in this neighborhood. And I thought the overall reception of the street closure was they're used to the temporary and festivals, and they're okay with that kind of a setup. It was more the permanent thing that seemed to cause a problem. But I think you want to definitely get the opportunity to the people that live like on Maplewood in the neighborhood right back in here, because they're directly affected.
Right. So not just the downtown residents, but widening out the circle a little bit.
Yes.
More for input.
Yeah, and Summit Street. I mean, anything that's affected by the area, I think is should get it out.
Okay. Yeah, we can take a look at the map and determine that, and what we'll do is we'll put together a draft of the survey and a draft of where we'll be sending it for, I think, maybe just a quick email approval and then get that moving, I think. Yes.
I do think that even with the DORA when we launched it, you did say we would have three out of review. I don't remember exactly what the timeline was. So I think this is very timely and very appropriate. I would say that as we put together your question, I hope that you will work with the administration, and particularly the street closures. I think that's a great question, and to understand what the community wants, but I would want to make sure that we understand if there's any parameters or limitations that we should be incorporating into those questions or those options. So that we can propose something that really we feel will work. Like, for example, you don't want somebody to say, close down all of Main Street and all of Maplewood and part of the Grove Street. You know, I mean, we want to make sure that people are providing real options. And so there might be some input from administration that would help.
Okay. Yeah, making sure that there's realistic options, not just things that would be hard to follow up with. Okay. Thank you, Mary. Those are great observations, a great thought. All right, so then I guess moving on with this draft timeline and strategy for this, we would spend the next month working on this survey and getting results. I figured August is when we could take the time to then review those results, and then in September is when we're supposed to be, I believe, and Bill, maybe you can correct me on this, I believe in September is when we're supposed to get the task 3 report from environmental design. So then I figured in September is when we also will be focusing and looking into that. And then I was guessing then on October is when we could try to take the survey, take the market analysis, take however the world has developed over the next few months and try to put those all together to start to make a more formalized plan. And to start that discussion. And then, so somewhere over winter, we'll have that plan get formalized, we'll have a public hearing if needed, and then the hope is that in spring, we'll be able to have this change, if any change is needed, ready to go for the good weather in the new year. Yay, yay.
I think that sounds great, Emily, but is there, I might be jumping ahead, but in the more immediate future, what's the plan with the corner park at Maplewood and Main? Is that something we can do more immediate than that?
Yeah, so Maplewood and Main, or Maplewood Park's already in process. We have the public hearing on Monday,
yeah. Okay.
And I will bring the proposed legislation to facilitate that expansion. I will bring that with me Monday.
So that added one more
yes.
But I think this is good because, like I said, you know, the closing down of Maplewood, it was good, but it was kind of thrown together last minute. So I think if we take this amount of time and get community input and really put some thought into it, we can come up with a really good plan to have in place by the time the weather's getting nice next year.
Mm-hmm. If I could add on to that, I have one question. If we pass legislation for that pocket park mm-hmm. there, does that immediately go into effect?
Yes.
So there's no delay on that?
No, there's no delay.
Okay. As a follow-up, what into Mrs. Westfall's comment, once we get the community input, I think maybe, because we're going to get all sorts of comments from all different directions, rather than having you or council carry that, perhaps it would be helpful to put that back in the administration's lap and have them come in with an option or two or maybe three back to council for us to gnaw on and consider with hopefully a recommendation of yes on this, no on these two things, whatever that structure might be to allow for the administration to have additional input based upon once we hear back from the stakeholders and the rest of the community.
That's a great idea.
Sorry, Mayor, I tossed that one in your lap.
you guys work so well, and you know so much that we don't get into in the nitty-gritty details. And so maybe once we have the survey results and the market analysis, we just kind of see if you guys have general recommendations. And then I guess in the September-October range, that's when if you guys are
able
to come back with some ideas,
that's to approve. Lindsay, maybe just to bring up, I've been contacted by a couple of property owners in the downtown area about expanding the area, but it's nothing that has to be done as quickly as we're doing with the park. Kevin Clay is the owner of House of Him at the end down on Summit Street, and I met with him and Nick Dallas about expanding the door down Maplewood to Summit Street and parts of Summit Street heading north and toward Monroe to be included in future door expansion. And I've also been in contact with Kevin Kenny, who owns the Comstock building. I don't have a timeline, but that's, I think, finally starting to get some legs that he's going to start doing something, and he's interested in having the door expand to down Monroe Street to his site. So I just kind of wanted to get that out there so you knew that I've gotten some calls about that.
Okay.
But again, nothing that needs immediate action.
No, but it would make sense to take those street extensions into consideration during this discussion. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
With
all due respect to Mr. Kenny, I'm from Missouri. When it comes to the Comstock development,
okay.
Show me. I got to see something before we start looking down Monroe Street.
Right, and as I believe Leslie said before, we can continue to add on more as we see necessary. There's no sort of limit of how many times.
No, there's an acreage limit, but there's not a limit. We can amend it.
And it's about 150 acres. So this is going to look like a tortured congressional district when it's finished.
Yeah.
I
working on this.
A little bit there, but this is going to look like, I don't know, like a hydra, but it's, we're going to have tentacles going everywhere.
Yep.
Do you know what acreage we're at so far? How much room we have to grow? I believe we're four.
Yeah, it's
not. It's just, it's whatever that blue outline here is. We've got plenty of room.
If you're only counting the public right away, 150 acres is a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. 3 point something. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Kevin County property, I mean, you would need to have to keep the same as Kevin property, Kevin County property and the Dora, so thinking about what's in between there, they would need to be included too.
Pictures of the sidewalk, and you put that.
Yeah, that's what you do with the sidewalk.
You have a sidewalk on there.
Yeah, but I feel like those businesses may have some, we should make sure that we include them in our survey.
Yeah.
Yeah, the members for businesses.
Okay. So I will add into our list of considered streets or locations for the survey. We'll add some of those streets too, for input on interest of having something on Summit Street to help us kind of place it in the, you know, a bigger timeline and know what sort of factors we need to be able to feel comfortable extending it down Monroe Street.
One thing that I would suggest in regards to Monroe Street, the speed of the traffic on Monroe is dramatically greater than it is on all the other spots that we've looked at thus far. And I don't know what the width of that sidewalk is, but it, I understand that. That's my concern. If you have somebody who is utilizing the establishment, walks out, and I'm assuming they're not taking Pepsi with them, otherwise they wouldn't be walk around in a door cut necessarily. So that would be something I would ask the administration to consider. I don't know what the width of that sidewalk is relative to creating, make sure we have a safe space for the individuals to utilize.
That is one of the spaces. There's no space between the curb and the sidewalk. There is no right of way available
right
to distance.
Especially at the bridge.
Yes.
At the bridge, the bridge.
Right.
So we can go back to the extend Maple one with the bridge over the creek, of course, right by the top of him, and then it can go right to the county spot. Something to think about for them.
This is a little further down the road, is that correct, Mitch? Isn't what we're talking about, we want to roll out by spring, is the historic village and these other parks that are the Monroe and Main Park, and that's more in the immediate horizon, right?
I think the immediate deliverable we want to have is having something ready for spring, but I don't think it would be beyond us to be able to incorporate what might be the next step for the following summer or following that. But I do think sort of our main goal is trying to reach what the next solution is for next summer.
Yes.
The only thing that I would suggest is, if we're not serious about extending it down Monroe Street to the Comstock property, that we wouldn't necessarily need to include all those property owners. And the reason I say that is, it's not an immediate circumstance or situation for them. So while I'm always interested to hear input at some level, I want to make sure that we have the voices of the people who would be directly impacted by any changes in the reasonable time frame have the strongest opportunity for voice.
That makes a lot of sense.
Bill, do you have any indication about Mr. Kenny proceeding? I know he originally said he was going to proceed as soon as SOMO started, and he didn't. Any ideas what his plans are?
I've asked him that. I want to know, and I agree with Mr. Fry, we can like build it before we worry about getting the door there.
We'll get it started at least.
Right, and so we're probably a way off on that. The one immediate would be the Maplewood to the House of Him, because that, if you haven't been there,
that's not really contiguous.
Yeah, that would be an easy connection, and these other ones are more speculative based on what the development will be, but it sounds like we can add things there. But I got a feel for and I'll, as soon as I, maybe I'll know by Monday night at more Kevin's timeline, but I got a sense by his reaction to some emails, he's it's really stepping up in that he's moving forward on things, so we'll see what his timeline is.
Great.
Leslie, for the rules of this, does it need to be continuous, or can there be gaps?
No, we are, because of our population, we are only permitted to have one door. That would be considered a separate door area, okay. So it has to be contiguous.
And we are going through the steps with the mini park right now, mm-hmm. necessary to expand. So there has to be a public meeting, and yep. City Council has to pass an ordinance. It's not a difficult timeline to expand.
No, it's not.
We're going to car garage into immediate deliverables and we get in spring-ish. And further on down the line, I feel like I would add these kind of reflexes in an immediate deliverable for spring. I mean, the sister city park and the parking
lot. Well, there's behind the duplexes, and then there's the next segment that's behind the sort of behind the museum,
and then there's the historical village, which is to me like three separate. I mean, you could clump it all together, but if you walk down that street, you can see where the property owners are. But the people behind the duplexes, you wouldn't even have to do very much. Except for say, okay, you can only park there until 6 o'clock. I mean, larger cities do this like all the time, and it's parking from 9 to 6, and then after 6 o'clock, it's not parking anymore, and then it's a public area for eating, gathering, drinking, and the mural painted there. There's a grassy spot in between. It could just use some tables. And then there's, I mean, behind the museum that. I mean, that would take some reorganizing, so maybe that's not immediate. And then historical village, because of the kid element, maybe, I don't know about that. But behind the two duplexes, doesn't seem complicated at all. Except for the people that live there, but, okay, so we're not doing it tomorrow, but we give them, we say, hey, we're considering this for spring. I don't know when the lease is up, maybe you want to stay, maybe you want to move into Somo. And make sure that the people that are living there know what's going to happen with the months before it does happen so that they can decide what they want to do. I mean, do own that property.
What's the state of the request for proposals for those duplexes? Because that would probably affect.
Well, it could be temporary. I mean, you can put it there, and then if at some point it sells, then it sells and it moves or changes.
Maybe table that for right now, because there is an update we hope to have Monday for you with council concerning the duplexes. So why don't we have that conversation, and then we can. Let's talk about
it. May not be ready for Monday. Yeah. Don't anticipate it for Monday. We're still negotiating. Yeah. There's property line mm-hmm. issues. It may be a following meeting.
Yeah.
But there is a proposal of what at the moment.
Right.
But Katie, yes, we can certainly make sure that parking, that protected parking area in the center of our downtown, but not right on the main street, could be a part of that survey to be considered.
And even when we're considering the proposals, and not, I mean, I don't know what the proposal is right now, but that we do own the property at this point, and we really don't have any other space to be community gathering.
Well, conceptually, though, I like the idea. The question I would have for administration is, are there other spaces that they're aware of, other than the ones we've already had discussions about, that might be out there that we're not thinking of? It could potentially be utilized in a similar fashion to what you're suggesting.
So we obviously, I mean, by the closure of Maplewood, we now know that we obviously need a public gathering space, and we really don't own that much property. So we need to actually be careful about what we're selling before we decide if what we have is our perfect spot.
Which if you guys are able to see, I can move it closer, the colorful map, where you have the black outlines, that's city-owned property option. But I believe that Somo should be removed from that. But if you ignore that,
those are what we have option-wise, other than the streets themselves or other right-of-ways. I can bring the people through.
I can say it's not, okay. Yeah.
And then on the right one, the blue is the outline of the current DORA boundary.
Well, I think it's definitely worth taking a look at what Katie said about kind of behind the duplexes. I mean, we're talking about putting out surveys and considering all our options. I think we should definitely put that on the list as something to consider, because it's a by square footage, it's a pretty big space that the city owns that could work very well for what we're, you know, it could be just what the Maplewood shutdown was. I think it's worth taking a look at.
Any other thoughts or comments on this? So we're at 8:48. We had discussed potentially talking about near-term scheduled street closures in response to the governor's safety plans and rising infection rates. But we don't, I guess I want to kind of take a feel for the room. Would you guys, now that we know there's 12 minutes till 9, would you guys like to try to discuss that from now, or would you like to save that for a future meeting? Or for, I guess, maybe a general council discussion?
I'd be okay discussing a little bit now.
Okay. Would you guys be available to push to 9:15 if we wanted to for the discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. So, you guys are already aware that we had closed Maplewood, and we did it in response to providing additional outdoor pedestrian space, and then that was ended because patrons were allowed to dine in again, and the need for outdoor space was reduced. However, you guys are also, I'm sure, aware of the fact that daily average infection rates are currently higher than they were initially when the lockdown started. And the governor is alluding to potentially to doing what he needs to make sure Ohio stays safe. So I think it would be prudent of us to be prepared to have something to respond with, given that case. Now, because I think there's sort of three things that would need to be discussed, and that catalyst, what's the thing that would cause it to get started again? When would we do it, and where would we do it? So just based on what happened the first round, when we had it just going nonstop, and we had it on West Maplewood, and I think there was I would be hesitant to go into that degree again. But I wonder what you guys would think about maybe closing West Maplewood just on weekends, or maybe just closing East Maplewood just on weekends. I have the original proposals you guys sent, or the administration sent, for the first round, and in there was anticipated support that the east side of Maplewood could be closed on the weekends. That would help get it further away from those apartments that were having issues previously. I don't know, I guess I'm looking for thoughts, and of course administration, your thoughts as well. We certainly don't want to repeat the previous issues.
I think I would like to hear from Mr. Aller about the logistics necessary for the temporary closures. I know you told us that it was fairly easy for the art walk. In Toledo, they're allowing the actual property owners to put those out. If you're not comfortable with that, but just tell us about the logistics. How difficult is it? How concerned are you as a safety director if we close it Fridays before the guys go home for the weekend and reopen it Monday morning when they're back to avoid overtime?
Yeah, we have, From a logistics and an impact to the general public, the closure of the east side of Maplewood has less of an impact and is an easier setup than the west side of Maplewood. The east side enables, if you're, the eastbound traffic it's much easier for that traffic to, you know, make a right or left-hand turn on the main street, versus having to do it either Richard Becker or Judy Young, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. The setup from a service department standpoint, or the streets department standpoint, is also much easier because basically we're just putting barricades up on each end. We would set those up Friday afternoon at, you know, 3:30, 3:45 before the guys left for the end of the day, so there's no overtime. And then one of two things can occur: either representative of DSA taking down Sunday night, or our crew drafting first thing Monday morning, which would be about 7:30 in the morning. So we have no overtime involved. Cost is pretty minimal. We don't have to worry so much about turning lanes and that kind of stuff on that side. The other side, you start getting into where you gotta do a little more setup and advance notices and things of that nature. So that's more of it's more time involved and it's more cumbersome and it's more disruption, I think, to the general public. That what the east side is. So if it was something that we wanted to do on an ongoing basis, for now at least, until we can, you know, the Maplewood project, maybe we're able to incorporate some things into that makes that a little easier or something. But for now, you know, I would lean more towards that east side if it was something that we wanted to do on a weekend basis.
I think that the east side makes sense from a couple other standpoints. The mini part's going to be put into the door next Monday night. Also, the Board of Architectural Review last night approved the plans from J&G for a canopy over the north side of their building, which will provide some more outdoor seating space. Those spaces all kind of flow together. And even though J&G could not provide table service out in Maplewood, just like inside the five couldn't do it on the west side of Maplewood, I think that those spaces being contiguous do make a lot of sense. And hearing you say it's an easier setup and less of a problem, I kind of like doing the east side if council's interested, and the DSA would be interested in the ability to shut that down some or all weekends through the good summer months.
Yeah, that would be manageable. And you know, I would emphasize that, you know, just the closure of Maplewood, I wouldn't be in favor of bringing in tables and taking them out and bringing them in and that sort of thing. If the downtown businesses want that, then I would ask them to take that on.
We could also try to promote you bring your own chair or the mm-hmm. Make sure you're taking care of yourself,
yep.
Both safety-wise, but also comfort-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and the reason the mayor alluded to that I'm not comfortable in having, you know, just having one of the businesses or something like that set those up. When they take the barricades down, we work with organizations and that kind of stuff. They just take them down and set them on the side of the road and we're good to go. My concern on having them set it up is when we set it up, while it's not rocket science, I need to make sure that that's set up properly because, you know, God forbid a car comes ramming through there or something and we're in the middle of a lawsuit and I just prefer to stay out of that. If it occurred, it can still occur, but at least I know that our streets department that's set up on proper warnings and things like that have done it. So.
Timing-wise, I think it works, too, because our guys go home at 4 or 4:30 right. And set it up, and that's when you want it, is for Friday evening. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me.
So I know that in the past, I've heard in the past that there's pushback from one of the business owners that lives on the south side of that section of Maplewood. And my other question is, how far down Maplewood are we going to start impacting any funerals that might occur at Reed during that same time?
Yeah, that would be the only thing. There are two, there would be one business that would be possibly negatively impacted, that we would have to coordinate with that, with them, to make sure. The other business, I don't believe even holds Saturday hours, so they would be impacted, I believe. But Reeves, that with a funeral schedule, that could, you know, that could have an impact on them. I think it's manageable, but it would definitely have an impact on them and their reservation.
How would you think that it could be managed? If you say it's manageable, because I'm not seeing it. I can see ways it could be done. I mean, you could have people out there pulling the cones, allowing the traffic to come in and out if there was a large funeral, and then dropping the cones back. But it gets back to the mayor's question of overtime, right?
Yeah, I think the times that they need that Maplewood ingress egress are pretty limited.
Okay.
Because I think they, you know, typically they use a Main Street or Summit Street ingress egress.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think that those drives get used a great deal.
Okay.
Bill? Just to add, Kevin said, I just recently talked to Reed, the credit union, and the Wolf Dresher's law firm, and they're all supportive of like a Saturday type, Friday night, Saturday type of thing, if they know in advance the date. So it's just kind of letting them know. I agree with Kevin. I think with the funerals that they've got other entrances and exits they use, and that's that they can get by without that on the temporary side that they have that entrance there. So I think it's the permanent closure that they have a problem with. It's the temporary or weekend thing. If everybody knows the dates and everything, I think that could work.
Bill, did you get any sense for them whether or not it would be an issue to do it every weekend, or perhaps if it's every other weekend would be more favorable?
I didn't get into specifics with that. I think, again, people are used to it on different events and that we now have frequency. I think that'd be a new question we'd have to ask them.
So are we talking about doing this like regularly, or are we talking about if the governor shuts down indoor dining again? What conversation are we having right now?
So I guess there's sort of two parts to it. There is, yes, the sort of immediacy responding to a potential increased need for outdoor space, but then I also think this information is very useful for the long-term conversation of where the bigger plan would be coming to. So I think it kind of serves a double purpose.
And are we discussing shutting this down? Let's say there's not another restriction from the governor. Are we talking about this summer? Or is this east side of Maplewood? Are we talking about this is one of the spring 2021 things?
I think both.
I think it'd be this year.
Okay.
We need input from you. We need input from the DSA. And, you know, people interested. If you're going to try some, I don't know.
Yeah, I would be more supportive of just the weekends, but I would also want to provide an opportunity for particularly the people who were communicative on the west side of Maplewood closure, that they would have an opportunity or be notified if we were going to do this. Because we did the west side pretty quickly, and you know, had some lots of benefits and some significant drawbacks that we discussed. But I think that would be helpful as well. So that may delay things a little bit, or maybe we need to have a meeting in the interim, because I know we've got another big stretch. Is it 4 weeks, Mayor, between Monday and then the next meeting or something
Correct.
Like that?
Yes.
So that's a pretty long stretch, and much of the summer will have dissipated by the time we would be in a position, because that would be a Monday meeting, even if we held something in advance, which means the weekend would not come until effectively the weekend before Labor Day, if my math is serving me correctly.
It's the third Monday in August is our next meeting.
After 2 weeks of Labor Day.
But we wouldn't need an active council or a council meeting to shut the street down.
That's true. That's a good point.
So kind of just a consensus. I think it would be helpful either way. Even after the restaurants are allowed to have indoor seating, you know, they're not at full capacity. They're not making the revenue they were last summer, so I think anything we can do to help them would be great. I would hate to see any of those establishments shut down permanently. But I also think we should have, I mean, who knows what could happen if the governor, you know, next Monday says no more indoor dining because Facebook's spiking. I think we should be able to spring into action and get something like that set up, you know, to ensure that J&G's Pizza or Inside of Five doesn't close permanently. And I think that's, you know, we should have that kind of in the holster.
I would be in favor of every weekend, starting as soon as we can without surprising anybody. And then to add to it, even if, like, if we had a couple food trucks, just on weekends that park in that little city lot, or like food trucks that don't compete, like the ice cream cart, or one other one that could park in that city lot and make it a weekend thing and give the DSA enough time to promote bring your own chair food truck weekend.
I would also support every weekend, you know, as soon as we can without surprising. I would be careful with the food truck. I like the ice cream, but my thinking about the shutting on the street is to help, you know, the restaurants on Main Street and I'd be to bring in competition. But something that doesn't compete, sure.
Like the ice cream and the snow cone.
Yeah.
The family comes, the dad has a beer, the kids have an ice cream and a snow cone. And it's still on your own chair, even if it's just a hot dog cart too, because I know that that's in order. I mean, it's hard to, for two restaurants to support the amount of people that would be here.
A couple of comments. I like Katie's comment. Food trucks cannot compete with the downtown restaurants. Anytime we do that, I get calls. We don't want to do that. The second comment is, if I'm hearing comments that you're supportive of this. When we closed the west side of Maplewood, I asked for a motion of council recommending it. You can't do it, but it helps the administration a lot to say we have the support of council to do this.
Oh, we answered and step off the curb the other mayor? I think that was a comment I made a couple of months ago.
We can do that Monday night. You can. Perhaps when the DORA vote is, you can also have a motion right after that saying, and we'd like the administration to look into closing the east side of Maplewood as practical. Something like that.
I would support such a motion that came up on that.
Although I might lean towards trying the first and the third, but I don't know. Maybe we start with every weekend and see how it goes and then reduce it if necessary.
Yeah, I guess my thought with that is, and it was the same, this is kind of goes back to the discussion we had when we were putting DORA in place. It's like, it's difficult for people to keep track of when.
Exactly.
And somebody's going to walk down there from, you know, I live on Garden Park. Somebody's going to walk down there from Garden Park with their foldable chair over their back and get down and be like, wait, I thought this is, oh wait, it's the wrong weekend. I think that might create some confusion.
It's just like recycling pickup. Is this the week for recycling pickup? I have to sit there and think.
I was just looking at my neighbor's house and see what they're doing.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I would favor every weekend as opposed to every other. Just for consistency purposes. And whether the consistency is the wrong or the weak minded or something, that definitely applies to me. So.
All right, well, I think we will bring this up at council on Monday to officially show whether or not council supports this consideration.
We would like to hear from the DSA as well, and Bill will check with the three or a few more property owners adjacent.
Well, that is all that I have for today's agenda. Is there anything else someone would like to talk about or any additional comments? I'm going to not schedule a next meeting for now since we have probably a couple months until we have the survey and the market analysis results, but I will be back in touch with you guys specifically on this probably early fall to continue the long-term discussion. Thank you for your time. It is 9:06 a.m. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
So move.
Andy, thank you for being here.
Okay.